So, you know, as a dad who's trying to raise emotionally intelligent children, right, that's been a big gap for me because I didn't have it in college, didn't have it in high school, and got very little of the conversation at home, right? We didn't really talk emotional intelligence, emotional, you know, at that point in time, it was just, hey, you either had it or you didn't, you know, and it was how to get along with people is more the conversation.
How to not fight everyone you come across.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, that didn't work in New Mexico.
Yeah.
They must not have had that course, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, I grew up in Kearns, and so it was kind of rough there, you know, from that standpoint of, you know, fight or flight, you know, kind of a thing. You know, so I don't think we had that, but definitely didn't really touch much on entrepreneurship as a whole. When I got into college, and this would have been at Weber State, like I said, they had an entrepreneur course, and you'd write up a business plan and actually get exposed to that side of it. So I think schools are realizing the need, but they're not necessarily doing much more than that, right? And then I just did a graduate degree not long ago, and we didn't talk at all about really even small business.
All right. Welcome back to the Monetize Your Mindset podcast, where we talk about creating financial security by monetizing those things that we already know or do. Today, we're doing something that I've never done before. It's multiple speakers. So we are talking with Adulting Decrypted. It's a father and three sons, and we'll let them introduce themselves here in a minute, but, you know, sometimes we just need to learn about being an adult, and sometimes we don't even want to be an adult. So stay tuned, and we'll talk about adulting. But before we do that, you know what you got to do first. Roll it.
Are you prepared for what happens when what happens happens? Life happens when you least expect it. Create financial security. Monetize what you already know. Welcome to Monetize Your Mindset.
Monetize your mindset.
Identify your ideal side hustle so that you have the resources to deal with whatever happens when what happens happens. It's time to monetize your mindset. Here's your host, Bart Merrill.
All right. Let's get today's episode started. Okay, we're talking with Roscoe and his three sons from Adulting Decrypted. And we are going to talk about learning about being an entrepreneur and actually sharing with your kids the ability to be an entrepreneur. Got a great show coming up here in a second. But before we do that, I want to take a second and put a word out for an organization called Rescue Rovers. They're here in Utah. Look them up on that's rescuerovers.org. I actually did a thing and signed up to be a foster, and I've fostered my first dog. It's an 80-pound puppy. He's a baby Rottweiler. But if you like dogs and have a place in your heart, a place in your home where you can foster dogs and help them get adopted, I say go ahead and check out Rescue Rovers. Just look them up online, and you can put in an application to be a foster, or you can put in an application to adopt. See what dogs they have available. All right, with that, let's get to the show, and we're going to talk with Roscoe and his three sons. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monetize Your Mindset podcast. Thank you guys for joining me today on my podcast.
Thanks for having us.
So we are with the adulters.
Yeah, that's us.
That sounds weird.
Probably not the right word.
We've discussed that. It's a little too close to another similar term.
So. Okay. We're just AD, Adulting Decrypted.
Adulting Decrypted, okay. So tell us who we got here. Let's start with the patriarch.
Awesome. I'm Roscoe, the dad, and we do a podcast weekly with my three sons, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
I'm Gene. I'm a senior in high school, and I like ultimate frisbee, theater, and I'm currently sporting a goatee, which is pretty legit.
Legitness. Okay. The person who just said legitness, my name's Gideon. I like to ride my bike for fun. And I'm a freshman.
Yeah, there you go.
In high school. So, yeah.
Freshman.
All right. And I am the last and definitely the best, because last not least, you know, but I'm just kidding. My name's Ashton. I'm 22. Really into music, really into audio, and having a good time and into podcasting. So that's
awesome.
It's me.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Monetize Your Mindset, and what we talk about here on the podcast is creating that financial security by monetizing the things that you already know or do. And so it's kind of a side hustle podcast, a business podcast, an entrepreneur podcast. Roscoe, as me and you have been friends for a long time, you are in the side hustle business. Tell us some of the things you've done.
So when I was first starting out at 7 years old or 8 years old, I'd ride my bike all the way down to 7-Eleven there in Kearns because it was too far for most kids to go, but my parents didn't care. So I'd ride down there, and I figured out taxes at a young age. Bart, I figured out if I bought one piece of $5 bubble gum that I didn't get charged tax. If I bought two, I got charged a penny tax. So the poor clerk behind the counter got one. I bought one piece of gum at a time. I gave her 5 cents every time. Never had to pay the tax on it. Took it home and thought I was making good money when I could double my money. And so that's where the entrepreneur spirit started. And then I would do different things. But really started my own business after being out of college for about 7 years. I started an import business originally, importing from Asia, and then we ended up in that whole 2008 downturn. Morphed my business more into consulting, where I'd go in and help people with their supply chain procurement, you know, anything operational improvements. Green belt certified, black belt trained, and all those different Lean Six Sigma stuff. So spent a lot of time in that realm. And then COVID happened, and now I'm working with a large corporation and still doing the side hustle, the podcast, a couple different other small things working on with the wife and another business partner. So having a lot of fun. Chicken awesome. Coops.
And I like that you found the tax thing at a young age. I love that video of the kid that's crying because he's having to pay property tax or something in Monopoly.
Right. And it's true.
YouTube, he's like, no.
It's true. It's painful. So.
Awesome. And I still do the export thing, not the import. I go out of U.S. to Asia.
Trailers, is that still
camping
a thing?
Trailers, trucks, boats.
Yeah, that's cool.
Parts, whatever they need.
That's great.
You know, some stuff I bootleg, some stuff I send properly. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that.
Fair enough.
All right, how about you? You are a senior in high school. Have you experienced any side hustle jobs?
I've mowed lawns and etched and blowed the sidewalks so there wasn't grass on them. I shoveled walks for a little bit as well, and was icing them so they didn't.
You put ice on them?
Like, no, like the de-icing.
Oh, the de-icing, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and so I, as you guys know, we just finished wrapping up with your podcast. And I told you the story that I started my first business in high school. I was a DJ. Mom and dad supported me 100%. It was awesome. Some of the things that I didn't tell you is there were some fights at my dances outside, wow, not inside the dance. And so some of the other people in the neighborhood didn't like the fact that I was having drunken brawls, but they weren't drunken brawls because
in high school.
Outside,
yeah. Oh, okay. It is New Mexico.
It is New Mexico. Yeah, we're a bunch of cowboys. We fight a lot. You know, it's kind of tough. Got to be tough. Okay, let's go to you next.
So let's see. The first one that I think I remember doing was probably trying to sell like little wire pumpkins that we have in our shed. It's like
oh yeah, that was one of my failed businesses. I've got a bunch of pumpkins.
And anyways, I'm gonna do it again.
Gideon.
But, yeah, so we were doing that. I'm mowing lawns right now. I took over Jean's lawns. I took them. And
so it was called Jean's Lawns?
No, I'm
does it have a name?
It didn't have a name before, but apparently Gideon has now given it a business name.
Not really. It's just like, I don't know. Lawns. I did it with the people in the neighborhood. We put it on like four or five streets next to us, and it just says like Gideon Allen and Dawson Illy Lawn Care or whatever, and then it has the rest of the flyer. It's not really a name, unless you want to call Lawn Care a name.
It's got a cool logo, so that's something.
Yeah, I made a logo.
It has a name. Like, if you think Siegfried and Jensen, it's a name. It's just two names, but it's a business name.
It's a partner, yeah. Well, like a firm, a law firm.
Yes.
Well, and we got to have a name. If you're going to do a business, you need a name, right? So, good name.
I've also I started trying to learn how to spray paint numbers on sidewalks. You know how every house has the black numbers on their sidewalk out front? I wanted to do that because Ashton did it. And yeah.
And how's that going?
I haven't tried that in a long time.
He was pretty little when he was trying to do it, but he gave it a good old college try.
Yep.
Gideon's always looked for ways to earn money. He's kind of a serial entrepreneur already.
Awesome. How about you?
My turn. So I've done a lot of stuff. You hear some repeats.
They all have the same dad.
Yeah. So,
so Ashton, how did you do it?
Right. There you go. So the funniest thing, though, is apparently when I was really young, we were driving through Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah.
We were on our family trips. It would always be dad wants to keep driving, doesn't want to stop. We got to get to where we're going. But kids are like, we want to eat food. So we compromise. We keep driving. And mom gets in the back with us, and we've got the cooler in the little side seat, and she just makes sandwiches while we're driving.
You make me sound like a horrible father, but yes.
We got to get to where we're going. I can't fault that. But so she makes sandwiches, and then we eat while on the road. Well, we were passing through Yellowstone as this activity was taking place. My window was down, and as we were passing by people, I'd go, hey, I'm selling these sandwiches, these nice little PBJ sandwiches, $10, and one of them's yours, you know? And so it was failed business, my first one.
because, yeah, people go, what are you doing? Because he's back there with the PB&J all over himself. He goes,
what is this,
$10? No, it was actually, I remember the story really well. We actually were towing a trailer, so we stopped at Grand Teton for once, and mom was actually in the back making these.
Oh, there we
And
go.
Somebody walks by and goes, oh, those look good. And Ashley goes, $20. And he's like, five. And somebody's looking at him. He's like, what? And he goes, $20. You can have one. I'm like, if you want a sandwich, ma'am, I can make you one. She's like, no, that's just funny, though.
So there you go. That's my first business. No profits. But there was no overhead for me, so it doesn't matter. So after that, I did a couple different things. I did spray paint numbers on sidewalks, went door to door throughout our entire neighborhood, went and bought the spray paints, the stencils, some tape, and went and did that.
And you did pretty well. I mean, you bought your band for the year, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was able to pay for
marching.
I do marching band and another thing called indoor drumline, and was able to use some of the money from that. I also went and sold ice melt. Just salt. So we went to is it Cal Ranch? Is that what it was? It was, yeah. We went to no, not
it
Cal
was
Ranch. IFA. IFA.
So
International
Farm.
went to IFA, and they had a pallet of salt. They're like, we'll sell it to you for bulk, big discount prices. Like, sweet. Found a guy in KSL who had a bunch of buckets and lids. Bought those and went around and sold packaged ice melt to people. That one I liked more than painting numbers, because numbers you're like out in the heat of the summer crouching down for a long time trying to get this number right, and then when it looks bad you're like, well, what do? I spray paint it all over again and whatever. But with the ice melt, you just fill up a bucket, and the time I couldn't drive, so I carried around these big old buckets of salt to people and sold that. Eventually I got tired of doing that, and so I went and worked at a local movie theater and did some extra jobs for them for fun, and then went on a mission. Fast forward to now, and I'm doing more audio music stuff. I'll help people record them playing things, and I'll edit the audio and video for them, make it look professional, and get themselves advertising themselves out there.
So. And that's a side thing, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Because you're working at Walmart for most of your money right
now. Yeah, so right now I work at Walmart to make my money that I need.
Your money that you need.
But then
awesome.
The fun money I make from teaching private lessons and making videos for people.
Awesome. So I thought this would be a great opportunity to get a different perspective than I normally get on my show. I'm normally interviewing, you know, entrepreneurs, or my last one was actually a estate planner. Because I don't know if you did you know that I almost died? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I remember hearing about that.
A couple of months ago, I had a blood clot break off my leg, or from the veins in my leg, and it ended up right here. And I ended up in the hospital for 3 days.
Wow.
And so that kind of brings a perspective to you about things that you need to have in order. So I had an estate planner on this week talking about getting your stuff in order as an entrepreneur. As you know, if I was an exec at Walmart or exec somewhere, it would probably all be done for me. But when you're a solo guy, you need to think about those things. And you guys as kids probably think you're bulletproof. And I'm the same way. I thought I was bulletproof. You know, I'm a tough cowboy from New Mexico, and I thought I was cool.
I was getting in fights.
And I was going to say, I was a Sauk City boy from Kern, so I did mine about 5 years ago. I started my estate planning, so I could do some more, though, so that's great.
Yeah, so this is going to be a different perspective on kind of what different ages think about when they think about being an entrepreneur. And so I want to start with the youngest.
Okay.
Do you think you're getting the information you need in school? And I'm not here to try and bash schools. I just want to bring the reality of things.
To be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, to be in business, to go do a business yourself.
I feel like in high school, you can choose the right classes to learn at least a little bit on business. But I also feel like a lot is something you need to learn outside and with experience.
Okay. And you have kind of taken that upon yourself to, well, I'm going to say that you probably have some help because of your dad, because of the things you started. And it's a lot like our friend that we know, Ty Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
His kids have a thing that they call the salt taxi, and they deliver water softener salt.
Well, that's a great idea, too.
And they go buy it at Costco and mark it up and carry it to these people's basements for them. And
that's great.
So I think you have a dad that is actually bringing that into you to help you out a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and one of the things that really got me going about Monetize Your Mindset as I was helping at this drug rehab center. I was teaching them how to do public speaking and stuff. And this girl, she got up there and she was telling her story about how when they were out and about as a family, she felt like everything was normal because the abuse and the neglect didn't happen till they got home. But then she saw everybody else doing the same thing. When they were out and about, everything was normal, right? Nobody was getting hit or abused, but she thought that they, when they went home, were abused and neglected as well as like she was. So she's like, I thought my life was normal. Mm-hmm. And that's where I started thinking, you know, what is it if you didn't have the dad you have? What if I didn't have the dad I have? How would my perspective on money and business be? Would it be different? So do you think it would be different if you didn't have the example of your dad filling at the pumpkin business?
Ouch, true. Fair.
Probably not, to be honest. I mean, you never know, but I'm almost positive it'd be very different.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same, because if you didn't grow up with my dad or someone like my dad, you don't think like I do. Same thing with your dad. Okay, how about you? You're almost done with your high school experience.
Yes, I am pretty close. So the question was, what do I learn about the business?
Do you think you're getting the tools you need in high school? Because he just said when you get to high school, you can kind of pick the classes that are going to help you.
I don't know how many classes there are that can help you, but I know there is this one club called DECA that does like all these business things. And like, I had a friend that did it. He took me to one of the meetings for like, hey, like introduce them to DECA, like so they can go into it. And I'm like, oh, sure, I'll go there for the free food. But because I'm a high school student, I just want food. But like, I know I have tools, but I haven't really used them at all.
How about marketing? Do you feel you know about current marketing styles?
I do, but that's not because of high school. It's because of a YouTube person that I watch, and they're like, hey, is this like the average phone ad, the annoying phone ads, are they legal? And they're like, oh yeah, these are all the methods that they use. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. But because he does it in an interesting way.
And this stuff, the marketing stuff changes.
Oh yeah.
You know, I don't know if you guys realize what the iOS 14 did to Facebook ads.
I'm not.
So when you go to Facebook, it'll ask you if you have iOS 14, the new one, it'll ask you if you want to be tracked. And if you are asked that, are you going to say yes?
No.
No way.
Everyone's going to say no. So the Facebook pixel no longer works if you're on iOS 14. It doesn't track it doesn't give you good analytics, and you can't remarket to them.
Wow.
And so it's just totally Facebook ads almost doubled in price per lead.
Because you have to blast it out to so many randoms to get the right one, right?
Right.
Interesting.
And so things just change. Now let's go to the experienced one. He's out of high school, been in life for a while. What do you think? Are kids getting the information they need in high school to be a businessman?
If they want to be an entrepreneur, I'm going to say a hard no on that one.
Okay.
Hard no. Because I'm trying to rack my brain so I don't sell any teachers short, because there's some really good teachers in high school. But I don't think... Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, can't they be good teachers, but they're really focused on their subject, right? And they still care about you guys, but they're, let's be candid, most teachers are teaching, which is not an entrepreneur job.
So... Yeah, so no, I would say through high school, junior high, all that, I don't remember ever getting any experience in maybe starting a business, going out, doing your own thing. I had teachers, like one of my drumline instructors, they were very good at giving us life skills, and they were teaching us things that were important to be a functional adult as far as attitude and work ethic and dealing with people, but... As far as, you know, this is how you start a business, this is how you take an idea and monetize it, if you will. And so I would say no, as far as high school goes.
Yeah, I would agree. I like what you said, Roscoe, about, you know, they're teachers. They're in a job situation. Can they really teach entrepreneurship, or does it need to be learned out there in the field? Plus, they have a curriculum that they have to follow. Do they have a whole lot of... you know, flexibility that they can do without maybe getting fired nowadays.
Right.
So I think it's something that has to be learned. I don't remember in high school or college. I mean, like I said, I went to college in accounting, so I have accounting experience and I learned a little bit about business. But I don't think I learned a lot of life skills in the college classroom. It was all done out of the college classroom.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that from an educational standpoint, right? So if you chose business as your graduate degree, right? Or for me, it was supply chain undergrad degree. It was really, okay, here's some soft classes, you know, some world history and whatever general elective psychology and some of that. But once you started focusing, it was more just how do you work for the man, for lack of a better term. I know there was an entrepreneur degree. But I always thought that was kind of ironic, you know, because I'm like, wait, you know, you're getting an entrepreneur degree and all you're doing is you're taking all the core business classes. So you're taking the marketing, the supply chain, you know, the accounting. I had two classes of accounting, statistics, you know, and those kind of things. But are you still really learning how to do a business? And I laughed when I started my first one. I'm like, look, I have a business degree, but I don't know anything about business,
right?
How do I go down and file with the state to get a registered name, right? So like my business name apparently lapsed 3 years ago and the state doesn't know how to reinstitute it. It's killing me. Yeah. You know, I'm paying fee after fee trying to get it done. So I think to Gene's point, some of you have to learn as you're doing, you know, and rely on other experts, you know, or I think there are some degrees, but I don't know that that's, I don't know.
Let's look at Carolyn Blossel in our Toastmasters Club.
Right.
She graduated in graphic design. And by the time she graduated, computers came about, made her degree totally obsolete because she didn't know how to do graphic design on a computer. Now, things are changing so fast with technology. And I mean, let's take the music industry. Things will change, you know, 5 years from now. If you learn something in college, it may be completely different on how you do things.
Right. For sure.
It's just kind of crazy how stuff changes.
Yeah. The production industry has changed tons, even since I was learning about it 4 years ago. So,
yeah. And so some of the things they're teaching, they can't teach because it moves so fast. Or once you've learned it, you got to learn something new. It's like when I went on my mission to Japan, I learned 2 months here in the States, Japanese, and then I got dropped in Japan and I'm like, wait, is that what I learned?
Yeah, that wasn't the language they taught me.
That doesn't sound like what I learned.
Yep. I remember that well, getting dropped off in Taiwan and going, this is not what I was taught. You know, I don't know what you guys are talking, but this is not what I learned.
Exactly. Okay, Roscoe, let's go to you.
So, you know, as a dad who's trying to raise emotionally intelligent children, right, that's been a big gap for me because I didn't have it in college, didn't have it in high school, and got very little of the conversation at home, right? We didn't really talk emotional intelligence, emotional, you know, at that point in time, it was just, hey, you either had it or you didn't, you know, and it was how to get along with people is more the conversation.
How to not fight everyone you come across.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, that didn't work in New Mexico.
Yeah.
They must not have had that course, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, I grew up in Kearns, and so it was kind of rough there, you know, from that standpoint of, you know, fight or flight, you know, kind of a thing. You know, so I don't think we had that, but definitely didn't really touch much on entrepreneurship as a whole. When I got into college, and this would have been at Weber State, like I said, they had an entrepreneur course, and you'd write up a business plan and actually get exposed to that side of it. So I think schools are realizing the need, but they're not necessarily doing much more than that, right? And then I just did a graduate degree not long ago, and we didn't talk at all about really even small business,
yeah,
which I found was kind of unfortunate because even if you're not an entrepreneur, if that's not something that juices you per se, there's a lot of probability that you'll go work for a small to medium sized business.
Yeah.
Right. There's not, everybody's not going to go to work at Ford or Toyota, Amazon, Walmart. You know, so a lot of people are going to go into these. There's a lot of small businesses that provide a lot of our services in this country. Insurance agents, you know, I mean, you know the list better than I do, yeah. Bart, because you've been interviewing. But so many times we don't realize that a small business owner doesn't necessarily have all the training and all the degrees and all the departments, right? So one of my first jobs coming back to Utah after leaving Ford, I was the director of operations. So I ran the whole facility. Well, I was also over HR, which is not really in the wheelhouse or in the stream, but it was for me, you know, so I had HR, I had part of accounting, you know, there's all these things that just fell into the net because I was in a small business versus a big Ford Motor Company where it's like, hey, you do one thing, you know, you make sure parts get to customers and
you screw that screw in that hole right there.
Exactly. And I didn't
hours a day.
And I didn't get to do that. I just had to tell the union guy what to do. I would get in trouble if I tried to do that. The union would have stopped me. But yeah, very specialized versus very general. Right. So,
well, one of the things that I think is important in business is networking.
Mm.
You know, do they teach you anything about networking in school? I think as kids, it may come a little bit more natural than once we get adults and we kind of get afraid of people. Because you make friends easier, because really that's what networking is making friends, because you know it's not who you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that question. Guys, what are your perceptions on that?
Well, I was thinking about it. I still had a hard time talking to people in high school. And that being said, though, I do think I made more friends in high school than I do now. And I think part of it is because of, like, the environment.
Yeah.
You're like forced into a room with 30 plus people, right, for, you know, the entirety of the school day, 5 days a week.
Right.
So it definitely does provide more opportunities for networking.
And that could be what it is. It could be the opportunity that you're forced into it.
Right.
I'm in a BNI group, and that's one of the things I like about my BNI group. It's called Business Networkers International, and it's just a referral group, and it forces me to go to lunch with people and do things with people and make friends because I can't do it on my own.
It's well, nice to be forced sometimes.
Well, and it's just weird, right? I mean, hey, buddy. You know, I'd like to know your guy, Gene Gideon. What are you guys?
My opinion as a high school senior would be they don't teach you anything about a pipeline. Like, they don't say anything about, like, oh, yeah, you got to, like, get to know other people so that this can happen. It's just basically like, oh, yeah, this is the subject I'm teaching. Get it done, basically. Except for, your extracurricular classes. But those are the, like, you make friends because you guys have a common interest. And it's not like, oh, yeah, if I know you guys now and you guys, like, oh, say you get into contracting, you can help me later. It's just like, oh, yeah, we're doing the same exact thing. Let's talk to each other.
So In school, you get introduced to a lot of different people. Like what Ashton was saying, it's 30 people, but you've also got 8 classes. So that's however many people that is. I'm not good at math.
8 times 3? 160. Okay.
No, you got that wrong.
24.
Yeah.
240.
Yeah. Either way, you get introduced to a lot of people. And
do you know all 240 in your class?
No, but I know a lot more than I would if I, like...
That's fair.
If I didn't get introduced to a whole bunch of people.
That's a good point.
So, I know there's that part of it, and
I
sure, some of them...
I knew everybody in my class. Well,
I know a couple people like that.
It's
kind of
easy.
I had 35. That he started elementary school with and he graduated with.
Either way, you get introduced to a lot of people, but... Sure, they might go into a whole bunch of different areas and you'll talk to them. You'll be like, hey, I know you know how to like work on outlets and all this electricity. Can you help me out? But in school, they don't teach you how to use that knowledge. They don't teach you, hey, you should get to know people so they can help you and you can help them. It's more of like what Gene was saying, it's a cookie cutter. It's, hey, learn this to get the good test scores. It's not, hey, you're going to need to know these people for later. It's, I don't know.
I think that's great. You didn't, sorry, Bart, I don't mean to hijack.
Hey, whose show is this anyway?
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding.
I just realized I was taking over. I just had an experience today I wanted to share, if that's all right, about networking. I didn't realize how important networks were, right? I was a junior up at Weber State, not having kept track of anybody that I'd met up to that point in time, really. You know, never even crossed my mind, to be honest with you. And then I was introduced to Matt Williams and Brandon Obrey. It's funny that Gideon talks about electric outlets. Brandon Obrey, a college buddy who does really well for himself up at the Hill Air Force Base, good friend of mine, did electricity when he was in high and when he was putting himself through school. So guess who I called up when I bought this little cabin? I said, Brandon, how do I do this? And he came up and helped me wire my little cabin from a skill that he had somewhere else, right? So nothing to do with what he does for a day job. But then the other friend, Matt, today took me in and introduced me to some pretty powerful people that he met through his network and was introducing me to them. So these relationships are now going on 21 years, 22 years of knowledge, and they're introducing me to their network. We're helping each other out, right? So I wish I would have realized, you know, at 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, that one, you don't have to be afraid of adults, right? That you can say, call up Bart. You could call up Bart and say, hey, Bart, I'm working on this business idea. How would I monetize it? Right. I know that Ashton's already doing that with some of my friends that I've introduced him to, and I wish I'd have known that then. And I wish I would have known even at 23, 24, 25, when I was getting ready to graduate, how important it would be to keep in contact with some of these people, because I have hired 3 or 4 of my college buddies, right? I've interviewed different friends of friends, you know, from those opportunities and right. Leveraged my network to get to where my consulting network, I didn't realize how strong it had to be.
Right.
You know, and some of those things, I wish I would have realized how important that Rolodex was. And not, kids don't even know what those are, but it doesn't matter. Your listeners do, right?
And I want to, just for you guys, I want to let you guys know how important it is, because I did an interview with a guy named David Hunter. And just for your kids' perspective, he was the grandson of Howard W. Hunter. But he is also the producer of A Singles War and I think Home Teachers and a couple other of those type of movies. Well, he started out in an office. He shared an office with Ryan Smith, Qualtrics of the Jazz.
Wow.
And about 4 other high-powered individuals. And he said, just being in that office made me think bigger than I probably would have thought if I was with someone else or in my own office. Because these guys are going out there and killing. He was with the guy from Vivint, another multimillionaire, billionaire guy.
Right.
And he says, he still shares an office with these people.
Wow.
They have their side offices in his building. And it just makes him think bigger than he would on his own, if that makes sense. So having those connections and those networks, you know, of people to think and share ideas and to bounce ideas off is just huge. So now let's go to a little bit of question about what did you guys want to be when you grow up?
As a high school senior, I hate that question. I hear it way too often. It's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's like seventh grade. It's like, you have to have a plan or you're never going to succeed. So I've just been avoiding that as long as possible, and it hasn't helped me at all.
So, I mean, I remember as a kid, so when I was 12, I wanted to be a cowboy, and I was a cowboy. Then when I got my stereo and kind of, I went from country music. I had a cousin that wanted me to get into the hip-hop realm, and so he kind of introduced me to rock, you know, and then I kind of bypassed him and went over to the heavy metal, 80s hair band type of stuff. Then I wanted to be a heavy metal guitarist. I mean, I was going to be a guitarist on that stage, just screaming with my guitar.
Get that gent.
So what do you want to be? Anything? Nothing? No dream.
Well, I personally want to work with film in some way because I really enjoy movies and I know there's a ton of opportunities in film. And I feel like it'd be cool to be like talking to some real famous people like, yo, Leonardo, how's acting going for you? You know, just things.
Awesome.
Gotcha. Okay, over here.
I get confused with this question sometimes. I know a lot of...
It can be confusing.
I know generally what I want to do out of high school, if that has something to do with it, because, like, I know all of our family knows and a lot of my friends know that I want to live in a van after my mission for a couple years and travel around with my bike and a camera, and I want to develop some sort of YouTube and do welding in the process, and I think an M-Tech welding degree in high school would be cool, and then go on to record videos and hopefully make some money from that.
Yeah, and the reality of it is, can you imagine if we told our dads we wanted to live in a van and have a YouTube channel?
In a van down by the river.
And make money doing that? They'd be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, first off, what's the YouTube?
Please. Yeah, what's the YouTube?
Son, please stop taking drugs.
The mushrooms your dad was growing.
Yeah, that's right.
The good stuff.
But that's a legitimate thing now. You can actually make money doing that. That's so awesome what the time that we live in, the opportunities are just so easy to make things happen. So you're probably already on your way to what you want to be.
I hope. So my – for the longest time, I've always loved music, always loved audio. So right now, if you were to ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'd say film and television composer, producer – and then at some point, some sort of writing would be involved, like typing, writing, not composing. But I do composition, yeah, sort of thing. So somewhere in the creative arts in that area.
Don't write a book. It's painstakingly tough. Pulling my fingers out. That's awesome. I mean, there's so much variety here. And you as a father... Did you go out of your way to kind of teach them entrepreneurship?
You know, I didn't necessarily, but here's what I did do, Bart. I don't like to pay for things. And so I tell my kids, hey, if you guys want to do a sport, if you want to do something, I'll meet you halfway on most things. But I'm going to help you figure out how to do the first half, right? So Ashton and I got the ice melt bucket idea from a cousin of mine that was doing it up in Farmington. And I'm like, oh, very cool. And he goes, here's an idea. Call these guys. See if they'll sell you last year's ice melt. Sorry. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but we bought a pallet of last year's ice melt.
I left it out earlier. You put it in now.
Ashton had to break it up so that it would actually work. But it's still there. Break it up so it'd fit in the buckets. But so I encourage that kind of mentality of saying, go out and try things, right? Because it's okay to fail, and it's okay to fail spectacularly. Just go out and try. So I guess I did install that, you know, from that kind of a standpoint. But there's been plenty of times that I've also said, find your safety net, right? I'm like, Ashton, go become a school teacher, you know, so you have that safety net. He's like, Dad, that would suck. After he went and did it for a little bit, right? Go ahead.
There is more of a story behind it too. So, early on, this kind of fits into this well. I didn't think about this. When I was going to church, part of a youth group, the kids that were in the group older than me, they were going to go see a guy that actually does film and television composition just a little bit north of where we are right now, professionally for a living, and he does really well at it. And I was like, oh crap, that'd be really fun to go. I'm just not old enough. And one of my friends in our neighborhood, adult, he's like, you need to go. And I was like, well, I'm not old. He's like, I don't care. Just go. And so I went and I saw the guy's studio and I was just like starstruck. Didn't even know the guy. I was like, this is freaking awesome. Like, there's so much stuff here that I just love. And then later I got the contact info from that same neighbor who knew him. So I went and interviewed him and talked to him, and he mentioned, he goes, you know, I've worked really, really hard to get where I'm at right now. And he goes, I've had friends, they had backup plans. They're like, to be school teachers. He goes, they're still school teachers. He's like, nothing against them, but what you do is what you become, is basically what he told me. And so I thought about it.
I didn't know he told you that.
Yeah, he did. And so, and he wasn't knocking them in anyway.
Well, I agree.
He basically goes, we had the same dream, but now they're living as school teachers. He was just being a very candid conversation, and that was good for me. And I think at the time I was like 15, 16. No, I had to be older than that because I drove there, so maybe like 17. But then so when I went to college at first, like, Dad was talking about the backup plan, and so I went to go do a double major in percussion performance and education. And I enjoyed what I was doing, and I really enjoy teaching drumlines. That's still something I actively do. I'd go around and teach high school drumlines. And then when I got back from my mission, I was in one of my education classes for like the first week, and I was like, this ain't it. You know, I love teaching the drumlines. I hate Common Core curriculum. And I was like, I spent enough time complaining about school in school. Why on earth would I go spend more time teaching something I've been complaining about? So, and then I realized, you know, it's like this time and energy I'm devoting to create a backup plan, I might as well just put it into what I actually want to do instead.
Yeah,
so
I like that.
Long story, but it's just kind of more detail to what you were talking about, Dan.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, no, I don't. You know, it still scares me here, and Gideon wants to live in a van down by the river. You know, and the Gene's going, you know, I think it might be movies, but I don't really know.
Because I want to talk to Leonardo.
Yeah, exactly. Say, hey, man, how's that acting thing going? Well, I don't know. I'm making millions of dollars. You know, but I'm also inspired. Because here's my belief on that part is that the jobs that we have now did not exist when I was in high school. There was no such thing as really a supply chain. There was a supply chain, but it wasn't called that, yeah. Right? Even when I went in and my degree's in operation and logistics, right? So that means they didn't really call it the supply chain, and nobody knew what logistics was. And now everybody's like, logistics. They throw it around.
Thanks, UPS.
Yeah, and they don't even really know what it is. They're like, it's delivering packages. I'm like, sure, something like that, whatever. Let's move on. But the whole thing is, as long as they're willing to learn and grow, I believe they're going to be successful in life. And to me, we get to define our success, right? So as an entrepreneur, you know, to me, my success might look different than your success, right? But it doesn't matter because you define yours and I define mine. And that's the big principle I want my kids to have, is that you get to define your success. Doesn't mean that you're bumming money off the corner of the street and say, hey, look, I'm successful because. But I think that giving that latitude that we didn't have when we were younger, Bart, is a big freeing thought.
And I think when we were at our age, I think we had less latitude.
Oh, absolutely. You're
because it would, there was, number one, there was less opportunity, but most people weren't like my dad.
Totally agree.
You know, where he encouraged me to try stuff. Even when it came to some of the contests at school, like we had the fundraisers, you know, I think you still have the oranges that people sell. Well, I would sell oranges, and in my small town, I was the top seller because I got out there and got it done because my dad encouraged me.
Right.
We did one. This is going to be funny for you kids, probably. One was selling magazine subscriptions. And we had this, we would get points for each subscription that we sold. And we had this catalog of stuff we could use the points to buy. Well, in this catalog was a .243 rifle.
Oh, wow.
This is school. Now, it is New Mexico school with cowboys and fighting, but...
and more pigs than people.
And more pigs than people. But I bought a gun from school with the points that I made from selling magazine subscriptions.
If anybody could see Gideon's face right now, he's dumbfounded. He doesn't even know what to think of that, Mark.
Every week they gave a prize for the top salesperson, and I was the top salesperson each time. Two huge Bowie knives. I mean, we're talking huge Bowie. We're talking Rambo twice, you know. One in each hand. I don't even remember what the third one was.
In school, they don't even let you, like, see a picture of that on Google.
Like, how? I'm old. I guess that tells me how long ago it was.
Yeah, we had gun racks in the back of our truck.
Yeah, we had gun racks with guns in them. There was no... No shooter was coming to our school because we would fight back. But the opportunity that my dad gave me just from encouraging me on even stuff like that, the sales, you know, hey, if you're going to do this, let's do it right. You're going to win.
That's awesome.
And so I think that's just something that wasn't normal back in there. And it's probably even not even that normal here in this day either. But the opportunities for kids to do stuff, to make money is just so... much more than they used to be with your phone. So much you can do with your phone. Question I want to go, we're going to go from oldest to youngest. Well, and then we'll get to you in the last. This is a question I ask all the guests on my program. There's, like we just said, there's a lot of opportunity out there. There's a lot of ideas out there, from living in a van to making music to talking to Leonardo. Tons of opportunities that are out there. They have ideas. There's people that have ideas that are afraid to act. They sit on the fence. They won't get off. What is your best advice to help them get into action, to overcome the fear, overcome whatever it is that's holding them back?
I have to go first, and then I have to think of what I have to say, because I actually have some thoughts on this. We were talking, so... our podcast, Adulting Decrypted, we were talking last week about motivation. And we came across something, a concept where our brain is always one step ahead of us. The problem is our brain is like our strongest asset, but it's also our largest enemy. And more often than not, it likes to fight back against us. And when you come up with something where you like... I don't know what the experience is like for other people, but I'll get an idea and I just get excited because I'm like, whoa, that would be super cool. Like, I come up with something in my head and I start taking notes on my phone. Like, that would be something really fun to chase. And then immediately after I had like surpassed that initial slide down the hill of, oh, this would be awesome, it becomes like, oh yeah, but you can't do that because you don't have this resource. You don't have this connection, sort of thing. And one of those ideas for me was I wanted to make an album. Because I'm working on music and I'm working on that now. And initially I was super scared because I was like, that's a big project. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm not a professional. And to me, the first thing I had to realize is, one, this feeling I have of like, I want to do this feels great. And when I'm working on it and something works for it, feels great. What doesn't feel so great is listening to your brain telling you this isn't going to work. And that feeling sucks. That place sucks. And so what I've had to learn recently is just chase that feeling, you know, chase that idea. Because once you start taking the first couple steps, you'll probably trip and fall, but you'll make one or two breakthroughs and then start chasing those. They'll be like your oasis in the desert, basically. So my advice in a scrambled heap is ignore your brain telling you your fears and then just do the first thing. Plan 5 minutes, do it, and then chase that initial. That would be fun to do.
I like that. Clint Pulver, he was on my podcast not too long ago, and he talked about go as far as you can see and then reevaluate and then go as far as you can see. It's exactly what you said right there. I believe you're the next oldest.
I am. So I'm a man of less words. So what I'm going to say is, how bad do you want to do it? And if you want to do it, go for it. Like, why? And are the reasons you're holding back, like, weigh your pros and cons. Like, is going for it going to really ruin how much would it actually affect you? Are you willing to try?
So if you want it bad enough, Now, this goes back to our podcast, but me wanting that horde, I wanted George bad, and I was willing to work hard. Now, the youngest is going to give us the wisdom we're looking for.
I don't know about that, but I don't know. I'm coming from my own mindset, from what I have experienced in the past, which probably isn't very much for my age. But I love getting excited about all these projects. I'm like, oh, this would be sick. Like what Ashton was saying, hey, I can make YouTube videos. I could, like, I want these people to look at me and be like, whoa, that guy's sick, you know? And I start a lot of different stuff. That's an understatement. I try and do a lot of projects, and I even told my mom last night, hey, these things keep stacking up. It's like,
he's like,
when do I
huge.
Actually get this stuff done? But with a project, something you really want to happen, you'll get that first initial, this would be so cool. Hey, I want to, another idea I had, hey, I want to get these bikes from people, fix them up, and sell them for more than I bought them. Because I love bikes, fixing bikes, I like to do it. And getting that first initial excitement, finding 4 bikes from this dude for free that were complete trash. But I was excited. And right after I got that excited, I spent like a day or two and worked on them. And then I'd get like a flash of energy like a month later and go out for like an hour or two and look at what I have and work on it. And what I would say to somebody is, after that initial excitement, after you're all pumped about starting this thing, try and keep it up like daily, because you'll run out. You'll run out of gas and you'll get mad at yourself. Like Ashton was saying, you'll talk yourself down. You're like, ah, I don't know if I should try this. This is a big time commitment. I don't, like, how bad do I actually want this? Just remember that initial excitement and try and bring it back. Like talking about goals, the 10X rule, Grant Cardone. How, when you're talking about goals, you try and get it as big as you can to get excited as you can. Because once you make that goal, you're like, I can make $10,000 this month. You get so excited. You get that feeling. I just, like, keep that feeling up. Do that every day. Make sure you stay excited and motivated and just keep your grit.
That's very good, because one of the things that I do, I told you about the gun and then the oranges that I sold. If you sold $500 worth, you could get a pair of cowboy boots. I sold $1,100 worth, and so I asked for 2 pairs of cowboy boots, one for me and one for my girlfriend. And by the time the boots came in, she was no longer my girlfriend. But I did get the boots for her, and I gave them to her, and she gave them to her sister-in-law because she didn't want my boots anymore. Anyway, but I think about the successes that I had. If I get feeling down on myself, you know, I can't market, I can't sell, I can't do it. I just think about it, and it gets me pumped up, just exactly like you're saying, because I know I can. Okay, so for the last one, the man of the house, Roscoe, give me your opinion on that.
You know, I would, I can't remember the question, and I'll be honest with you why. Go ahead.
Do you want the question again?
Sure, that'd be helpful.
For those who can't get the motivation to get off the fence, how do you take that first step? How do you get started? How do you go?
You know, the inspiring thing for me, Bart, out of this whole conversation is these young men sharing with what works for them, right? And I think that is almost a personal process, right? So a couple things on motivation we talked about a little while ago is that motivation is like a shower. It's really good to get you clean, get you excited, but you really need to have that drive and that grit and that bigger purpose. The reason why we're working so hard on Adulting Decrypted and why I was willing to pass up job offers over Adulting Decrypted was because I love these guys. I want to leave a legacy. That's my why. It is not monetary. It's not financial at any level. You know, if it doesn't go anywhere, I'm totally cool with it. Do I want it to go somewhere? Yes, because I think that's what keeps the drive of these guys moving forward. As far as that pertains to Adulting Decrypted. But it's also the why I take on different jobs that I wouldn't normally do. So I would say check your why when you're not feeling motivated, when you're frustrated with it, and saying, what is my real why? And if it's selfish in nature, it's probably going to burn out. If it's a financial decision solely, it's probably going to burn out. But if it's to create something of value to others, I think you can find it and you will find your why. If it's value to those that you care about or to the world and as a whole, you'll find your why and you'll be driven. And then you don't have to have as much motivation to do it, right? It takes me a lot of motivation to go up into my room and do laundry. My wife does 99.99999 and some of the laundry because it just, you know, that takes. But to Michelle, it's easy for her to do because her why is for us, right? So I think that if you know your why, you can live with any how, like Viktor Frankl says.
So do you think his wife really enjoys doing the laundry that much?
No, but she does love him a lot, so.
Okay.
I would like to add to the laundry thing, because you said she does 99-something-whatever-9s.
Of my laundry and her laundry.
Make sure that you put that part in, because we have to do our own laundry or we're wearing dirty clothes.
Oh, it depends how long you keep it up there. If you keep it up there long enough, she's like, I don't like it dirty, and does it herself. It's really nice.
That's only been for you.
I know, because I never do my laundry because I'm like, that's awesome. Close enough.
That's awesome.
Do you mind if I throw one last thing in here?
I don't.
Okay. So, not too long ago, I reached out to a family friend, one of my dad's brother's friends, and because he was in the film industry, he's working in there, and I was like, well, I wanted to interview someone to, you know, networking, going back to there, and was just asking him about what he knew, and he was a graphic designer, and at the end of our conversation, He's like, you know, can I give you some advice? I don't know how much it applies to music, and it turns out it applies a lot. He goes, I'll have interns come in, students come in for interviews to kind of see what they want to do. He's a graphic designer. They're wanting to be graphic designers. And they're like, well, we don't know how to get to where you are, where you're going. He's like, his advice was this. He goes, you've been graphic designing seriously for probably 2-3 years, depending on how long you've been in college. He goes, the projects that you make right now are not going to be Pixar level. They're not. It's just not going to happen. So he goes, but in order to eventually get there, you have to finish projects. He goes, make a crap project, but finish it. And I think that's allowing ourselves to not holding ourselves to the Pixar standard, I think is super important as well in regards to finishing.
Yeah, I have that problem of being a perfect procrastinator. I procrastinate till it's perfect.
I like
and
it.
One of my mentors said, if you want to affect the most, if you want to affect the least amount of people in the world, wait till it's perfect. But I have powerful. To fight with myself all the time to put stuff out that's not perfect.
I like that.
All right. So how can people find adulting?
AdultingDecrypted.com. Yep, we're on all your podcast players. We have our website, Adulting Decrypted. We have Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. No,
Instagram, YouTube.
Thanks.
Instagram, yeah. YouTube. All under
Patreon.
Adulting Decrypted.
Yeah, I almost called you the adulters again, and I guess I better not call you that.
We've tried to figure out what to call our listeners, and we're like, the adulters. And we're like, no, that. So, no, Adulting Decrypted.
All right, guys, this has been fun. Thank you for doing this tonight.
Thanks for having us.
And for everybody out there listening, until next time, go monetize it.
Thanks for listening to the Monetize Your Mindset Podcast. To identify your ideal side hustle, go to youridealsidehustle.com. Here, take a deep dive into what you like to do, what you need to do, what you're already doing, and then ask, how can I monetize it? Come on back next week for more on how to create financial security so you can deal with whatever happens when whatever happens, happens. Because it will happen.